A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sim. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display? I eventually had to go down to the cellar. That's the display department. With a torch. The lights are probably gone. So had the stairs.
Yours is number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 190. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and this time we are talking about Kinvig. This is Ryan from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello.
Kinvig was a science fiction comedy that ran on ITV in 1981. They did a total of 7 episodes that ran about 25 minutes each, and it was written by one of our favorite writers at British Invaders, and that is, of course, Nigel Neill.
Yes, Nigel Neill, as you say, one of our absolutely most beloved writers here, the chap who probably invented British science fiction television. And we were wondering, before we started recording, is this the last of his shows that's available for us to discuss? We think we've pretty much covered everything that still exists, Brian. There's obviously some missing stuff, but which we can't get to see.
That's right. We're certainly getting close to covering the major things that were broadcast of his.
If, you know, any of our listeners can think of other shows of Nigel Neill's that we haven't talked about, then by all means, please remind us about them. But yes, here we are with one of the last of the Nigel Neill shows that's out on DVD that we can get to see and discuss. And it's about this chap, Des Kinvig. So our setup about this chap is that he is a work-shy handyman who runs a repair shop with his wife, a rather dilapidated repair shop, and that sort of dilapidation is mirrored in our central character because he's an unhappy, unfulfilled and frustrated chap, is Mr. Kinvig. He's not terribly interested in his work and he tends to divert himself from that work by entertaining the UFO and conspiracy theories suggested to him by his best friend. So he's a strange chap, which we'll talk about a little bit more in a minute. But of course, one night his world changes quite dramatically while he's out walking his dog, Brian.
Yes, that's right. Des Kinvig has a close encounter of his own, and he sees a flying saucer, and the flying saucer lands, and of course there is an alien who is a beautiful woman who appears to be the same person as his very exasperated customer, Miss Griffin. So we have sort of some classic sci-fi elements being mirrored and, as we'll get to, being parodied. And he finds himself caught up in this war between these peaceful aliens who live inside Mercury and their opponents, who are the terrible Xucs.
Yes, Xucs are X-U-X. We're told they're the bad guys.
Yes, exactly.
So we've already mentioned a few of our main characters. As I say, Des Kinvig, played by Tony Haygarth, not really an obvious hero as such. He's lazy. As I said, he's very frustrated, clearly prone to daydreaming and falling asleep while he's in his rather grotty repair shop. And then, as you say, Brian, he has one of his most regular, persistent and demanding customers is Miss Griffin, played by the very attractive actress Prunella G. And, of course, she also plays this attractive space alien who appears to Kinvig in, I guess what we could say are a sort of a series of classic space princess costumes, which become more and more revealing as the episodes progress, I think, Brian. But certainly the sort of stuff you might see on the covers of pulp science fiction novels.
Yes, and there were quite a lot of different costumes for her, weren't there?
Yes. The other aliens, which we'll talk about in a minute, they always appear in the same costume, but Miss Griffin, or her alien version, has a wide variety of outfits that she appears in.
Yes, that's right. Netta, played by Patsy Rowlands, is Kinvig's wife. Most of the time, she is preoccupied by her dog, Cuddly, and she also is known for making more and more cups of tea all the time. So she is sort of there and very much part of the comedy of the series. Jim Piper, played by Colin Jeavons, who we remember from his brief appearance in The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy television series. I also remember from his very strong appearance as Stamper on House of Cards, the old BBC version of House of Cards. Jim Piper is the sort of archetypal UFO nut and conspiracy nut. He is Kinvig's friend, really sort of his only friend, and he is always talking to Kinvig about the latest thing that he's reading and about conspiracies and what the aliens are doing and how the science fiction is not really fiction, it's really fact of some sort. And he takes part in what Kinvig is doing in and around town on Earth as well.
Yes, and he's the only one that Kinvig confides in about his close encounter and about what the aliens are trying to get him to do to take part in this space war. And of course, it's sort of meat and drink to Jim Piper, who believes in all this stuff completely and has just been waiting to have a close encounter of his own, I guess.
Yeah, stereotypical UFO nut and stereotypical sidekick.
Okay, a couple of other main characters. There's the leader of the aliens on board the spacecraft. He is the leader, I guess, of the Mercurians, although, as you've said, Brian, they live inside the planet Mercury. And that is Budo, played by Simon Williams, who we know as a sort of regular television actor, particularly for his appearance in Remembrance of the Daleks. But you can't really recognise him here because he's buried under lots of prosthetic makeup as the sort of senior alien figure who occasionally appears to give Kinvig advice.
That's right. This is some years before his well-remembered Doctor Who appearance in Remembrance of the Daleks as Chunky Gilmore.
There are three other aliens on board the spaceship who are mainly just sort of comedy roles, and I can't at the moment remember what the characters' names are. They just crop up as comic relief from time to time.
That's right.
And then one more of the Earthbound characters is Mr. Horsley, played by Patrick Newell, who you may recognise as the character Mother from the Avengers TV series. Now, Mr. Horsley is either the leader of the Bingleton Borough Council, and those initials are important, we'll come back to those, or, if the aliens are to be believed, he's a foul humanoid imposter placed there by the deadly Zucks. So is he, you know, just a figure of bureaucracy, or is he actually an evil alien creature? We'll find out as the series progresses.
Yes, that's right. So the episodes of Kinvig were actually fairly standalone episodes. There were some linking themes, and it does sort of progress as it goes, but they tended to be mostly standalone, and they would involve Kinvig and Jim uncovering some new Xuck's plan each time.
That's right. There'll be some dastardly plan from the aliens which they will either discover or they'll be told about by Kinvig's alien contact. At some point in the episode, Kinvig will do what's called an astral transfer. So he will be able to sort of beam himself or his mind aboard the alien spaceship and get a brief in, and also a brief romantic interlude with the very sexy space princess. And then he's back to Earth with Jim to try and disrupt the Zucks' plan. And then all the while, we've got the sort of standard sitcom elements of his shop, the comings and goings with his customers, the fact that he's terrible at his job, his run-ins with his wife, the dog, and of course, his ongoing feud with the Bingleton Borough Council, which takes up a lot of his time fighting their bills and their bureaucracy.
Yes, the stuff that's in around the shop with the customers and his friend Jim Piper and his wife, it does feel very much sort of classic British sitcom, which is really how it was produced.
Yes, that's right. In all other respects, it does look like a sitcom from that period of time. And it's got the classic repair shop joke, which is that the customers call for their items and they're never ready. He's never fixed them, and he tells them to come back again next Tuesday, in typical sort of sitcom fashion. I remember the same sort of jokes appearing in shows like Porridge and so on at the time.
Yes, right, of course. So getting into our production notes, Nigel Neal is very important to the history of British science fiction television and even British television altogether, in part because Quatermass, which started in 1953, was a very big change and something very new and different, not only in science fiction, but in the way that television was made and broadcast. It was still live television at that point, but the way it was put together and scripted and so on, it was serialized, and it was really moving ahead into things that could be done with television. So that was very formative in British television, science fiction and otherwise. Also, Year of the Sex Olympics and The Stone Tape, both quite big and well-known shows. Beasts was not as well-known, but there were a number of sort of shows that were very good and quite a big deal, that were original things that he had written. And in fact, he also adapted 1984 in the 50s, which was quite a big deal. And he would go on to adapt The Woman in Black in the late 1980s.
Okay, so a major figure. And at this stage in his career, Nigel Neal not working with the BBC anymore. I can't remember the exact details, but he had parted from the BBC not on the best of terms. We know that the final Quatermass film was on ITV, and as you mentioned, Brian, he'd done that series Beasts for them, which we've also talked about on British Invaders. Quite an interesting series, again on the ITV. And in fact, his bad feeling about his relationship with the BBC sort of spilled over into the script here, because as I said a few moments ago, it's no coincidence that one of his main Earthbound opponents is the Bingleton Borough Council, with the references to the BBC there. So he's saying something about the bureaucracy of his former employers, and about the fact that he didn't really get on with them at this stage.
Yes, absolutely. I think they had some signs and things that said BBC on them for the Bingleton Borough Council. So, yeah, that was definitely part of it. Nigel Neal apparently had attended the science fiction convention by this point as a guest, and apparently he was quite appalled and said he would never do another one again. But he felt that there was some value in comedy to write a show that dealt with science fiction fans and with UFO theorists. And it was sort of this that led him towards doing Kinvig. And the character's name, Des Kinvig, is, I believe, related to Neal's own heritage and the fact that he came from the Isle of Man.
Yes, it's another Isle of Man surname. And in fact, when I was searching for Kinvig on Amazon, if you do that, you'll see that a book comes up, which is a history of the Isle of Man, written by one R.H. Kinvig. So clearly an important name, and that's where he got it from. And again, as we say, this was an ITV show produced by London Weekend Television, as they were at the time, produced and directed by Les Chatfield, with the theme and incidental music written for the series by Nigel Hess.
It's also been noted that the glimpses we get of the Xucs are a design that is quite similar to the alien bodies that we see in Quatermass and the Pit from the 1950s. So it's interesting to see that little connection there.
Yes, I noticed that when Kinvig is having dream sequences about the terrible Zucks and the fact that they may have taken over Mr. Horsley, and they did seem quite similar to those Quatermass aliens.
Yeah, and possibly that's because it was imagery that Nigel Neal liked and he had scripted it to be something a little bit similar, or it may be that that's just what was chosen by the production team at the time. We really don't know much about that. Kinvig was broadcast on ITV in 1981, and Nigel Neal was actually interested in continuing with a second series, and he had said that he had ideas for it, but that was not to be. It was never picked up for series two.
Okay, so just the one series, 7 episodes, and if we talk about the availability of it, it is on DVD, which is how we've been watching it. Again, it's one of those network DVD releases. Came out in 2006 here in Region 2. All the episodes, plus quite a comprehensive booklet written by Neil's biographer, that's Andy Murray, not that one, the biographer one. The only extra on the actual disc is some surviving behind-the-scenes footage, which includes some interviews with the cast and with Nigel Neal himself. But somehow or other, over the years, most of the soundtrack for this this footage and interview has been lost. So we only get a few moments of Neal talking and then a lot of sort of silent scenes of him being interviewed and the cast being interviewed, which actually, Brian, I felt was a great shame because it looked to be one of the most interesting things on the disc.
Yeah, there are limits to how much you can get out of an interview that doesn't have any sound.
Yeah, absolutely, which is a shame. But there you go. It is fairly cheap, currently about £10 here on Amazon in Region 2.
And over here in Region 1, there is no Region 1 release. The Region 2 release is available as an import on Amazon.com for about $10 or on Amazon.ca for about $46. So I'll let you decide which deal you would like to choose on that one. As far as we can tell, it does not seem to be on any of the rental sites in any of the regions.
Okay, but currently the episodes do appear on YouTube. You can find them there. Obviously, as we know, these things get taken down and put back up fairly often. But at the moment, the episodes seem to be on YouTube.
Okay, good to know. But the DVD release, you know, £10 or $10 in the US, not bad prices.
No, it is really cheap and relatively easy to get hold of.
So I think that finishes up our first half of our Kinvig discussion. So next time we will talk about a few of the episodes in a little more detail.
That's right. We'll also mention again the rest of Nigel Neal's canon and wonder how this fits in with all his other great works.
Yes, and we will, of course, do some of our own reviews and recommendations, as we always like to. So you can reach us at BritishInvaders.com. And we are part of the Geek Culture Network, so you can find us at TheGeekCultureNetwork.com. We have a Facebook group, so if you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you can find us that way as well.
And if internet streaming radio is your thing, you can also find us at the Voice of Geeks Network. That's vognetwork.com. We go out on Mondays and Tuesdays, but you'll find a great many other geek-related shows to do with television, film, gaming, and so on. So if you are joining us from vognetwork.com, then welcome aboard as ever.
Yes, absolutely. There is a very nice community at the VOG Network, in addition to our own little community on Facebook, which is also very nice. So thank you for listening. This is Brian from Canada, signing off.
Yes, thank you very much. And until next time, it's Eamon in England also signing off.